Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to The Connection, a weekly radio program where we share our experiences and expertise with stories of caring, courage, and change right here in Connecticut. Listen to learn about needed resources to improve your well-being and transform your life. Now, here are the hosts of The Connection, Lisa DeMattis-Lepore and Anne Baldwin.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another great edition of The Connection. I am proud to be one of your hosts and a person in recovery, and my name is Anne Baldwin.
And I am Lisa DeMattis-Lepore, CEO from The Connection. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. It's just so great to be here. And, you know, I got to tell you, I'm going to be celebrating an anniversary next month.
Oh, yeah?
Eight years.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
I'll get my eight-year chip or coin or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, people in the program understand this. I mean, I had like five 24-hour chips, which I'm not proud of. But so that's if you've got 24 hours of sobriety, you can get a chip. You're only supposed to get one of those. You're supposed to move up from there to a month. But you know what? As long as you got it and you put one day together,
exactly.
Good for you. So what I did is I had this great picture of me out on a lake, and my back is to the camera, and my hands are in the air, and it just was like, it was a glorious day. So I had that blown up, and I take my coins, and I've just hot glued them around the frame of that. And I have it in my office at home, and I just love it, and I'm so excited. But the only thing is, they'll hand you a coin when you get it, but I have to make sure I get the right color, because I've got a color scheme going. See, there's a lot of gold ones and yellow ones and blue and red, so I've got to make sure it goes with my color scheme. So, and when I go get chips, I get two. One for me and one for my mom. She keeps my chips too.
She does.
Yeah.
That's so great.
Isn't that fun?
I love that.
Yeah. She's been one of my biggest supporters among many. So, yeah, I get two, and she looks forward. And it's always in March around her birthday time.
When's your mom's birthday?
March 28th.
My mom's is the 20th.
Wow. Isn't that funny?
That is.
We love our moms.
Yes. Yeah. They're amazing.
They are. It's great to have a great relationship with a mom. There's nothing like it. But anyway. So we got a lot to get to today, and of course we appreciate everybody tuning in and listening. And today we're speaking with Tiffany McCarthy. She's from Family and Children's Agency, that's FCA, and she's one of your partners at The Connection.
Yes. Hi, Tiffany.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Tiffany has been a really integral part in her agency with the Supportive Housing for Families programs. We've been a partner now for many years, and it's been a really wonderful partnership. And, you know, I think FCA is really the epitome of what it really means to have a strong collegial relationship with a professional organization that has similar missions and does amazing work. And we've been really blessed to, you know, work with you over the years. And I'm so happy you're on the show today to tell us about the work that you're doing and the work that we've been doing.
We're on.
So, Tiffany, what does FCA do, and what is supportive housing?
So, Family and Children's Agency does many different programs that support individuals, families. We have services that range from working with brand new families all the way through seniors and providing support in home and then in our, in our own agency, doing clinical support in our behavioral health. With supportive housing, as Lisa said, we work very closely with The Connection, and on some days it's hard to tell that, you know, who's Connection staff and who's Family and Children's staff because of the really hard, work that we're doing together.
You're a team. You're a cohesive team.
And completely. And we, you know, just as Lisa was saying, you know, we so value this connection that we have together. And the ability to do such powerful work for families that really, you know, without housing, you know, many families can't move on in their own journey to be able to you know, get their children back and, you know, really start to, you know, see life differently.
You know, it's interesting that you say that because we just downloaded from Connecticut Television Network one of the Connections clients that testified before a subcommittee on nonprofits. And she was talking about, and it was just a tearjerker, you know, how she had addiction issues and how she was homeless and she lost custody of all four of her kids. And it wasn't until she found the connection and, more importantly, she found housing that she could actually put her life back together, because it can be overwhelming, right?
Yes.
If you don't have a roof over your head, you know, that's got to be, you know, part of step one or one step two. So it was so cool that once she said she has a home, she's finishing up her degree, she's got all four of her kids back, you know, she's in recovery. And those are the kinds of success stories that you, you know, really aim to accomplish, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So when you say supportive housing, I'm going to ask the tough question that people out there listening might ask. Does that mean low-income housing?
So what we're able to provide is a temporary subsidy, housing subsidy, that goes towards the rent that someone has on their unit. And so it's significant subsidy that's able to support them so that as they look at, you know, what they want to achieve, you know, whether that's through employment or education so that they can get better employed, we are able to support the bulk of their housing cost for their rent. But it's not even just that. I mean, obviously that's very enormous.
That's huge, yeah.
But we also are able to provide intensive case management. So we're supporting that family on their road to self-sufficiency, on their road to success. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that one thing that I've learned in my years working with families is that sometimes, you know, there's the thought that success needs to be this enormous picture of success. And it, for some families, it's not that. You know, we have to really cheer on those small steps towards the ultimate goal of success. And that's what we do day in and day out with our families, you know.
We were just had someone on the show previously that was talking about, you know, he worked at a Dunkin' Donuts and everybody wore brown shirts and he wanted to get to the white shirt, which meant he had moved up. And then he went to another job and he wanted the red shirt, which meant he was a manager.
Right.
Those were his goals. And when you have a goal like that, and he met those goals, you know, it's like my goal is going to be different than your goal. That's going to be different than somebody else's goal. And if you don't have that goal and get to that step, that can be really a barrier to getting to the next step and the next step. And we want people in our society to be productive citizens, right?
Absolutely.
We don't want to just throw money at them and say, here, live in this house and we'll take care of everything. Mm-hmm. That's not how you operate, is it?
Mm-hmm. No. And I think, you know, besides us wanting that, the families that we work with want that. They want to know that what they're doing is going to make a difference for their family. You know, we really work to, you know, empower them, you know, to meet those goals, to look at, you know, what they can do now that is going to create long-term success for them. And, you know, families, I think, unfortunately, there are people that they are working with that don't necessarily share the same philosophy or the level that we do. So I think that's another important piece of what we're able to provide them, is that hope that, you know, where they are now is not necessarily where they're going to be, you know, even, you know, in a few weeks. And to go back to the point, housing is where we start with them, you know, to be able to get them settled. In my role at Family and Children's Agency, I oversee various programs that work in home with parents and families who have the Department of Children and Families involved with them. And so understandably, that can be very stressful, you know, to have, you know, that type of oversight in your family, really. And when we meet with families where housing is an issue, you know, you can't really even begin the process of working on what they need to do to strengthen their family if they don't know where their family's going to live, you know, in the coming days. That's a huge barrier to the work that we do. So to have a program like Supportive Housing for Families is immense.
So the way that our partnership began with Family and Children's Agency is when we started close to 20 years ago, the Supportive Housing for Families program. It was very small, and now it's very huge, and it's grown substantially over these years. As the program grew and we were going statewide, we knew that we couldn't do this work alone, and we looked for similar organizations in Connecticut that could assist and had expertise in working with families and children, et cetera. Hey, that's your name, Family and Children's Agency. So we made the connection together. Okay.
Oh,
okay. I'm on.
Bada bing, right. Bada boom.
Okay. Hey, I have to throw that in there. But truthfully, we've been a partner now with Family and Children's for a very long time. They've been with us on this journey. And so what we do is contract out a part of the program in the area where their agency is located, which they'll talk about in Fairfield County. And they do amazing work. And so we're really grateful that the work can continue statewide. And part of it, a portion of it is, going where Tiffany and her group. So Tiffany, tell our listeners out there a little bit more about Family and Children's Agency and where are you located in the state?
So we're located in Norwalk. So we're down in Lower Fairfield County. And so we service people in the Lower Fairfield County area. It depends on our program. As Lisa mentioned, in Supportive Housing for Families, our families can be anywhere from Stratford and Bridgeport all the way down to Greenwich. Primarily, we get the families that are looking to live in, Greenwich, Stamford, Norwalk area. But other programs that we have, it might be in our foster care program. We have foster care children in our licensed homes, throughout the region. And foster care is one of our largest programs at our agency. And we're very proud of the work that we're doing with children who are medically complex or have other specialized needs that we can help support them in their placement. We also do services for homeless individuals. We're able to offer them housing opportunities. We have a community center that we run 7 days a week so that they have a place to go. So if they're living in one of the local shelters during the day, they don't have to be on, out in the cold, especially, during this winter. And they have a place to go and get support services, case management, linkage to community agencies. I think that's one of the things that within our programs we do very well is if we can't accommodate someone's needs within our own services.
Right, you find someone new again.
Yeah.
And that's when I talk to people, especially in my world of recovery and things, accessing programs, you know how to get from point A to point B. It's hard sometimes if you're just going on the internet or you ask somebody and you're trying to get a hold of help or support or services. So to go through an agency, I think makes life a lot easier. So Tiffany, you talked about a lot of the affordable housing that you provide in Fairfield County and down in the Norwalk area. Is there enough available? I mean, I remember back in my news days and news stories on Not in My Backyard, and you said a lot of these people want to live in Fairfield County. I mean, how can you accommodate that?
Well, it can be challenging on some days. We have a wonderful network of landlords that we work with, though, that we are really happy that they understand, the importance of our families living in safe, affordable housing. Obviously, we don't give details to them of these family situations. But certainly, we are providing part of their rent so that they know that services are involved. They know that someone's in the home every week with the families, helping support them. And I think that, that's a huge piece of the work that my staff do, is to really cultivate those relationships just as they do with,
with the families
providers
themselves.
And right. Families.
So is it Section 8?
It's not, but very often there are units that would also be used for Section 8. It's scattered site housing. So basically we go out and we look for units that would fall within the rental guidelines for whatever size the unit is, one bedroom, two bedroom, three bedroom, and work with the landlord on having that unit inspected. So the Connection has a wonderful group of inspectors that come out and see, that's where it's FCA and the Connection. We're always working together and it's awesome because we really rely on our, you know, the staff that the connection provides to us, you know, to do things like the inspections, or if something comes up in a unit while we're working in it, we can always call the inspector or one of the other housing folks that is part of the connection to figure out how, what's our next move. You know, a perfect example, I think, is you know, in the last week, we had that big nor'easter last week, end of last week.
Nightmare.
Well, we had a tree that came down very close to one of our units, you know, and so the relationship we have with the landlord, you know, we were able to help our client who was already talking with the landlord. That's a big piece too. Like,
it's huge.
How do we don't want to just enable, you know, clients to have other people do for them. That doesn't make sense.
Right.
So we empower them. So one of the things in that instance is that, you know, our client had already reached out to the landlord. We're helping with some of that communication about the logistics of getting this tree cut down, because otherwise she can't get in and out of her unit.
But it's a good reality check. It's
yeah.
a good, you know, just like anything else. You know, the sink is dripping. Figure out how to fix it.
Yeah.
Or,
exactly.
You know, making doctor's appointments. I mean, these are all logistics and
Absolutely.
Things that if you haven't been living your, you know, the real world life, then you don't really know how to do those things. So I think that's a great thing. I want to, before we're about in the middle of this program, I want to give people information on, would they go through the connection for your services, or how does that work?
Yes, but also we want to talk, and also we want folks to be able to, from Fairfield County, to call FCA and also learn about their services.
So where would people reach out if they're interested?
So we, one of the great places to find information for Family and Children's Agency is our website, which is familyandchildrensagency.org. And that really explains all the various aspects of the services that we're doing. We have adoption services, foster care, as I said, behavioral health services, services that are target our young families. In my family support programs, as I said, we work with families that are involved with the Department of Children and Family on some level. They may have their children with them still, or they might not have their children, and we're helping them to reunify with their
right.
children. We offer support to relative caregivers in our caregiver support teams, which is so crucial. And I think one of the things that's really cool also about the work that we do in supportive housing is that there's a lot of overlap with our other programs. So, for example, we might have a parent in our Supportive Housing for Families program that was referred from the Department of Children and Families who has a child that is in placement, whether it's a caregiver, a relative caregiver, or a traditional foster care placement. Where I sit, I have both programs.
Mm-hmm.
So I have our, you know, our Supportive Housing for Families program, but I also have our caregiver support team program, as well as our reunification of therapeutic family time program. We have lots of long names. We use acronyms, but
right.
I try not to use
right,
them in
right.
this setting.
I know, it gets confusing.
It gets very confusing. So, you know, it's really great because you can really, you know, link all of these services together to create such a great safety net for these families while also helping them in their journey.
Right. And you might not even know what their needs are until you get into it. But I got to tell you, sitting on this side of this radio program, you do a lot of what the connection does.
We do.
It sounds to me like, why aren't you competitors?
Well, I mean, we could be. And I suppose if you look at it, everyone, you know, we're competing if there's RFPs or things going out. Mm-hmm. However, I know that we believe this, and I know, Tiffany, that you believe this, and please, you know, speak about it. We are really in this work together.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be sharing resources, because there are things that we do with the connection that FCA does not typically do, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So these amazing services that FCA have, we could, you know, and we do refer clients to their agency and vice versa. We're in this work together. We're not competing for treating a specific Joe Smith. It's like, who can serve Joe Smith better? And how do we work together to provide the services that one of us may or may not do and fill sort of that gap in?
And you know what? And that says to me, too, that means that you're doing this for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a money grab. You know, it's not for reimbursements are important to keep you in business, but you're doing it for the people. You're doing it to improve lives and make people more productive.
Improves lives because I do believe that, you know, we'll see clients circle through Connecticut and see the same client come through, et cetera. But we really need to collaborate, especially now more than ever, which we've been doing anyway together with FCA, because funding is drying up, mm-hmm. because the clients are getting harder to deal with, and we need to come up with creative solutions on how we're going to, you know, really work on this issue in Connecticut of mental health and substance abuse and homelessness and the needs of children and foster care, etc. And we can't do that alone. So I feel that the more partnerships we have, mm-hmm. like we do with FCA, the stronger our organization is and our state is.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Because, and that's all, you know, we talk about opioid addiction and we talk about, you know, that's the big headline now. You know, that's a problem, but there's so many other issues that are related to that. And if I can editorialize, these opinions are my own, not necessarily of those in the audience or the studio. But I'm hoping after this current administration, specifically our governor, goes, that the next person sitting in that seat will get it. Because you can't keep cutting these programs and hoping that people just figure it out. Like you said, Lisa, you're already working collaboratively with other agencies. We know that. So how much more can you cut, you know, the legs off of these programs and start really focusing on what's going to make our state better and more productive? Because right now it's a mess.
But here's the other thing that I think is really important for our listeners to hear, and this is really true. It's not a sales pitch what I'm going to say. It's reality. We know for a fact that the clients that we're serving are improving. We know that we're actually saving money in the state because clients are getting better. They're not going back into the system, and we know that for supportive housing because we had a large study done many years ago where link numbers of our DCF clients were looked at over 7 years, and there was a very, like, they were shocked, the state, that so little folks were going back in. So we were stopping generational cycles of abuse, right? But we know how beneficial the services are that we're providing, FCA, The Connection, and other of our sister programs out there. There, we have wait lists, like I'm sure you do, at FCA, yes. that are ridiculous. So we're not even touching the mm-hmm. tip of the iceberg. What do your wait lists look like?
We have significant wait lists, you know, in our behavioral health programs. Even in my family support programs, you know, we are finding that we are at capacity more than ever, you know, and our utilization rates are over 100%,
wow.
you know, at this point. And I think, you know, we just sustained some cutting to our substance abuse program. And, you know, to your point, there continues to be a huge epidemic that we are facing in, well, the country, right? Not even just the state. And you know, at some point, the creativity of programs to look at how they are, you know, running programs and how are they going to sustain these cuts. I mean, that only goes so long, right?
Absolutely.
Needs to be funds for these services.
And that's one of my, that's really hits a nerve with me because you've got proven results. Mm-hmm. It's working. And you've got wait lists for people that want what everybody else wants, you know?
And let me tell you this, Anne, about wait lists. When you get on a wait list, it means that you've been approved to be in whatever specific program it is.
And then you still got to wait in line.
Well, that's my point. It's not like it's a fake wait list where I call high, blah, blah, okay, you're on this wait list. No, you've gone through all the checks to make sure that you actually would be admitted into the program. So imagine that. Imagine who we're turning away that aren't on the wait list for whatever reason,
yeah.
right?
Good point. Very valid point, yes.
Yeah, sounds like a movie I just watched with the VA where people need these services and you just can't get in. There's no access. Mm-hmm. So why are we continuing to cut them when they should be funded? But like I said, maybe there's hope ahead.
I hope so.
You know, if you just keep doing the right thing and that's all you can ask for. Mm-hmm. I do want to give folks a number if you're looking for, you know, services or support for yourself or someone else that you know and you want to reach out to The Connection. Their website is The Connection, Inc., all one word, theconnectioninc.org, and they also have a toll-free helpline, 855-435-7955 is the number. And again, we're talking with Tiffany McCarthy from Family and Children's Agency. So where are we headed? What's your goal? How do you think the future looks? I mean, we kind of talked about it with budget cuts. But it's like education. You know what? You can't just keep demanding that things get better and then not fund it. It's what we call an unfunded mandate.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think in terms of supportive housing for families, you know, we recognize that there are still families, despite their best efforts, are not going to probably be able to reach a level of self-sufficiency
that's
going to allow them to support their housing needs. We have, I met with someone recently who was an outstanding example of the efforts that they put towards self-sufficiency. And, you know, as a result, is going to be leaving our program successfully, being able to support their housing. Will it be, you know, will it be challenging at times? Of course. I think it's challenging across the state. Everyone's facing challenges in, you know, meeting, you know, their financial needs. But with regard to our most vulnerable folks in supportive housing and people who are on the wait list, you know, I think being able to identify, you know, funds that are going to allow for some permanent housing opportunities to happen for the people who truly need it. You know, I think that there are people out there that are going to be able to meet their self-sufficiency goals.
Right.
And, you know, but there are people that simply can't. And right now we're looking at caseloads of people that, you know, at some point we have to determine next steps for them. Because we are a temporary program. Mm-hmm. And that's really challenging. And that's scary, not only for the clients, but, you know, quite frankly, it's scary for staff when we look at, you know, what's facing families. And I can speak to the families that I work with in my other family support programs at Family and Children's. It's, you know, it's a really challenging time because, you know, housing, child care, you know. So we talk about, well, you know, what's going to take to be self-sufficient? Well, I need to get a job. Okay.
What do you need with your kids?
What do you need to do to
get a
job?
Especially if they're not school age.
Yeah. I mean, you know, for kids that are younger, you know, there have been cuts to, you know, programs like
That's
Care
right.
for Kids. You don't have options, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just sort of a loop that we're in that's really, really, really challenging.
It's a vicious circle is what it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, you just keep doing the good job that you're doing with what you've got and keep fighting the big fight to, you know, restore resources and funding to some of these programs that I think foolishly been cut. And again, that's my opinion. So again, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And continued success. And thank you for all the services that you're providing to
thank
these folks
you.
And changing lives. That's what the story really
yes.
talks about.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm grateful
very much.
For our partnership, Tiffany.
As we are.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's been wonderful. So we're going to continue this work together.
Yes.
You and I. When the dust settles,
yes.
We're still going to be fighting that fight.
Yeah. All right. We want to thank all of you for listening to this edition of The Connection right here on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.